Welcome back to the Ultimate Man Summit. This is Lion Goodman, your co-host, and I am here with Dr. Mark Schillinger, not only a great man, but also a good friend. Welcome, Mark, to the Ultimate Man Summit.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to introduce Mark, but before I do, I want to tell you that we have conversations. We want to extend the conversation that we're having into the community. We do that through our Facebook page, The Shift Network, on Facebook. You will also have about, after our half-hour talk, we'll have a little bit of time for questions. If you're on the webcast, you can ask questions through the webcast question node. And if you're on the phone, we'll tell you how to ask questions when we get to that part of the program. Remember that all of the programs that we've had, over 50 of them so far and more to go, will be available to you by recording through the calendar page. So you can go and listen on the web or download them onto your MP3 player, play them back while you're out hiking or on the treadmill or ready to go to sleep. A lot of amazing discussions about men, masculinity, women, femininity, the divine masculine, the divine feminine. It's been a really rich conversation so far. So please continue the conversation on our Facebook page and elsewhere. Invite your friends. If they register now, they'll still get access to all the recordings. So let me tell you a little bit about Mark, and then we'll be talking about the right way. And that's not the opposite of wrong, so I'll give you that hint. So Mark Schillinger is a physician. He's a chiropractor, a musician, an educator, a life coach, and a community leader. He's the director of the Schillinger Chiropractic and Wellness Group in San Rafael, California. He's been practicing chiropractic in Marin County since 1985. He's presented over 1,000 workshops in the fields of personal growth and family unity and organizational teamwork. And he's a blender. He's a integrator of both the Western philosophy and Eastern religions. All the modern practices of wisdom and also the ancient practices, as well as taking insights from quantum mechanics and spirituality. So he's an amazing speaker. I've been hanging around this guy for a few years. He's also the founder of the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, an amazing program for young men from ages 14 to 20. It's a rite of passage, initiatory program that helps boys become young men and moves them into that new world of men. And he's the co-leader of the Right Team. We'll be hearing more about Right, whose purpose is to help men increase their wisdom and life skills. And he leads a number of programs for men, including the Right Man Weekend and the Ultimate Mentor Training. So it's a true pleasure to have you here, Mark, and to help have you share your wisdom that you've been accumulating over at least 14 lifetimes that I know of. So I don't know how many you count.
More.
Welcome.
Stop counting. It's too exhausting.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Truly, I'm honored. Thank you.
So you talk about the right way. The right way is something you teach to men and to the young men who come into your program. What does right stand for?
Right is an acronym for respect, intelligence, gallantry for the men, grace for the women, H for humor, T for true. So it stands for a set of virtues and values, the values of the definition of those words, which I'm happy to give you, and it's a guidepost, it's a guideline to help keep people, not just men and young men for that matter, but women and young women, all people, moving their life in the right direction. The definitions or the values of these virtues, respect is to esteem with reverence. Intelligence we define as integrating your intuition and your experience as the wisdom you already possess. Gallantry or grace means heartfully engaging in acts of courage and courtesy. Humor means celebrating with gratitude and joy. And T for true, living your life with integrity so you can trust yourself.
Yeah, so you talk about virtues, and virtues are kind of an old concept that we don't hear much anymore, the virtues and the sins of old, but what do you mean by virtues?
Thank you. Well, I think especially for men, this is so important because the virtues that all humans have and each human has their own unique combination of virtues, is what I believe is what keeps a person together. Together meaning organized in this material or denser realm. The virtues, to me, are what is like your core, essential, finer, higher self that is pure, that is not tainted, so to speak, by this conventional or material dense realm. They're finer. They're like photons. They hardly exist, but they're here, and they create reality. And I believe virtues are those forces that keep humans connected to what we would call in the right way what you are, which is whatever you believe, whatever is right for you to believe, is the source of this universe, whether you call it God or heaven or the absolute or the clearless light. Whatever you call it, I would say that's the what it is of the universe, and the virtues are what you are appearing in human form at your finest.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying here are some virtues that you can bring into your masculinity, whether it's for young men or for older men. But there's quite a wide range of virtues, right? I mean, if someone wanted to choose a different set of virtues to manifest in their life, is that okay with you?
Sure. In other words, yes, all humans have virtues, and I don't know so much that you bring them in, although we could certainly argue that, you know, we consciously create ourselves and we bring in what we need to work out in this lifetime. I would say that they're innate, they're inherent. You already have them. You don't have to go find them. That's sort of what they mean by enlightenment. It's already happening. We're enlightened. We just have to remember or discover who we are. But specifically for males, I would say that until a man knows what his virtues already are and usually requires a mentor or teacher or many to find them and really develop them, then the man will sort of act out his anxiety by not knowing what they are, which I'll get into in a minute. The second part of what you said as far as is it okay sort of to, I guess I wrote down the word develop. Like certainly all humans have innate virtues, but it also requires to be human to develop virtues if you're going to certainly be in relationship with a woman or relationship with anyone. It usually requires developing virtues. So I believe that there's virtues that all men already have, and there's virtues that men ideally need to develop if they're going to really certainly embody the best of their male appearance.
And these particular virtues, respect, intelligence, gallantry, humor, and true, these are virtues that I've seen, they're a really good starter set, sort of like the starter set in Lego, where you've got something to at least begin with and focus on and bring those qualities into all the way out to your behavior, right?
Absolutely. And so, as you've heard me say before, you know, your virtues, being virtuous is not enough in this denser realm, conventional realm. So in the right way, we would want to convert your virtues into something more concrete, and we would call those your values. Like I read you the definitions of RIGHT, we call those values. And then how do you convert your virtues and values into beliefs, thoughts that you have every day, all the time, because that's what masters and gurus and saints do. They're always repeating what's true for them so they can become them and ultimately behave that way as you say. For men specifically, you know, you're right. These virtues are like a starter kit. If you don't know what yours are, you can't remember, you know, at least you can get it right by using these virtues. For men specifically, what I would say, Lyon, is that the word respect means to esteem with reverence. And I believe that if men are not esteeming with reverence themselves, all others, and the creator or creation or whatever you would consider to be the source, the absolute, the beginning of all things, if men don't have a connection to what they are, then I believe that they become very anxious and they act out this anxiety with, you know, aberrant behaviors, whether it's frustration, anger, inability to get things done. And so for a man to have a deep connection to what they are and who they are, what their virtues are, allows them to start from the perspective of esteeming all beings and all things with reverence. I believe it is the job of the male to make the world safe and secure, and it is their legacy and obligation to initiate young men to know that role first and foremost. But men cannot do this if they're not safe and secure within themselves. And I believe the only way for a male to be safe and secure within themselves is to be deeply connected to what they think they are, their source, so to speak, something that humbles them at a profound level, and then how to convert that esteem or that reverence to all human beings so that when they show up in a relationship with anybody, they have a deep sense as to, I know who you are, you're the same as me. We're virtuous beings embodied here, and I'm here to make you safe.
What I heard you say, which I think is fascinating, is that men's aberrant behavior comes out of a kind of disconnection from who we already are or who we really are, and that the pain in men, the disconnection from each other, from themselves, from spirit or soul or whatever you want to call it, creates anxiety and comes out in all those kinds of behaviors that other people call aberrant.
Absolutely. You know, I've traveled the world, as you mentioned in my intro. You know, I've spent a lot of time, really since I was 15, I just turned 58, so I've spent 43 years studying, traveling, being with mentors, gurus, teachers from the East, and certainly many from the West as well. And what I've discovered is that if humans don't have a way, and since we're talking about men and young men, if men do not have a way, a path, a system, a method of being in deep, profound relationship to, as you said, who they really are, which I would call what you are, and who they are as human beings and males, you know, their virtues, if they don't have a way, I think they suffer from an anxiety because beneath everything, like a computer program operating behind everything else, is they have this sense of anxiety that their life is frittering away, that they're not going to get organized in such a way that they can get the things done they need to get done in this lifetime or be the man they always wanted to be. And so that is operating behind the scenes at all times, and I think it spills out or leaks into all their behaviors, including with men, women, children, at work, wherever. And so until they find a way, they have an anxiety that their life is sort of frittering away.
So we started with respect and esteem, and then you move into intelligence. And talk about that. How is that a virtue?
Thank you. Intelligence is a virtue because, at least what's true for me, is that it doesn't matter what anybody believes as far as what the source is. It matters what you believe. The right way has as its essence that there is no one right way to be enlightened or physically healthy or mentally clear, that each person is responsible for finding a way and integrating it and making it who you are and what you are, believing and behaving that way. Intelligence implies that the universe is already intelligent. Whatever you think it is, it's intelligent. Certainly has this intelligence that we are. And so when we define the word intelligence as integrating your intuition, which to me means that if you turn off your experiential mind, which is the other force of intelligence, intuition and experience, if you just practice being intuitional, which tends to be more of a feminine trait, but if you practice being more open and expansive and intuitional, then you can tap into the intelligence that already is you and find wisdom there. And you can certainly use your experience in life to come up with the wisdom that you need as well. What I find is that many people, and certainly since we're talking about men, when men feel like they don't have an answer, because men tend to be solution-oriented, when men feel like they don't have an answer, they tend to get frustrated. They tend to act in a way that's detrimental to their own success in getting the task at hand done, and they tend to reverberate that out to everybody near them, which creates a sort of an aura of fear for people. And since that's the exact opposite of what men's role is, to create a world that's safe and secure, when they don't realize they're already intelligent and they can find the answers within or use their experience to find the answers, again, they start to act in an aberrant way. So intelligence implies that you already know what you need to do. It's within, based on your experience or intuition. And then with intelligence, we would also add that in this lifetime, nobody can do it alone, and it's a paradoxical world, right? It's night and day. It's a dual world. Even though I imply that the answers are within for men, when in doubt, don't leave it out. Don't avoid it and not get it done. Go ask for help. Men cannot do life alone. They need to have mentors and teachers and just dudes that they can communicate with and get some things off their chest, and usually they'll get the answers mirrored right back to them. So that's how I define intelligence: intuition, experience, and ask for help.
Yeah, it seems like those three little words, I don't know, are hard for men to say, because we're taught that we're supposed to have the right answers, not right in your language, but correct and not wrong, and that making mistakes is bad. I mean, that's what we're taught in school.
Right. Well, men have this burden of being expected to know pretty much everything at all times, and when they don't, they feel like they're inferior, and of course, nothing can be further from the truth. When men have a deep sense of respect for the universe, for their source, whatever that is, that humility or humbleness, or I would like to say vulnerability, which is a practice that I'm learning to master, when you're humble, when you're open to all of it, then we can realize that we don't know a lot of everything. And so to admit that you don't know, to say those three words, which out, and with our men, we practice I don't know all the time, then it keeps you open, it keeps you vulnerable, it keeps you intuitive, so that I don't know means I don't know in this present moment, but I'm open to receive just based on my inquiry. So in the right way, when we're discussing this virtue of intelligence, we teach the oldest method in the book, which is self-inquiry. Ask yourself the right questions, because you don't know, it's okay, and see what naturally arises.
So recommending to men to look inside themselves, to their own experience, inside and to the outside for intuition, and not depending on knowing the right thing to say or knowing the programmed answer from somebody else.
Exactly. And especially if you're a father, that's the worst way to parent, just to make stuff up, because young men, and young women for that matter, biologically, they are geared to sniff whether you're full of baloney or not. So I don't know, let's go explore this together, is a great answer. And men tend to want to do things to resolve things. They tend not to want to just think and be with it and see what arises, but we certainly encourage that as a practice for men. So they don't have to always know what to do. They have to go in and get that inner view, so to speak.
That is great. So let's move to gallantry. Gallantry is kind of an old-fashioned word. We don't think of it very often in modern culture. You know, we think of maybe gallantry went out in the 20s or maybe the 1880s. What is gallantry?
Gallantry is an old-fashioned word. You know, we really look carefully at choosing it. Gallantry for men, grace for women, with the same definition. It is an old-fashioned word because ultimately, certainly when we're working with parents and telling them that their sons are going to go through an initiation that involves five virtues, including gallantry, we want people to know that we do honor this starter kit, as you called it before, this set of Legos, you know, virtues, and this old-fashioned value basically has at its core that men behind their armor, which is necessary at times to have a really hard armor, that's our job to go out there and provide and protect, but underneath it is a heart. And so gallantry says even the knights of shining armor, so to speak, they're very gallant. Beneath that, they have to know how to lay down their armor and be heartful, be open, be vulnerable, be loving, be caring. Because that is, I believe, our true nature, just like women. I believe we're the same that way, that all men and women want the same things, physical safety and emotional security. And so the virtue of gallantry helps men develop that virtue while at the same time biologically honoring their ability to go out and kill, so to speak, to procure, to get things done. So to bring your heart into being courageous, to go out there, go to work, do what you got to do, take care of what you got to take care of, do not give up that biological impulse that is male-oriented, and at the same time, be courteous. Learn to practice behaving in a way that's open-hearted as well.
So you're bringing a heart into our masculinity. You're bringing a focus. You called it vulnerability, and yesterday I heard the term having the balls to be vulnerable. So that takes a lot of courage. We're taught that vulnerability is equated with weakness or being a sissy boy or, you know, being a child. But you're talking about a different kind of vulnerability, aren't you?
Yeah, because you've seen us in work with our men and young men. I mean, the last thing we're teaching is how to be a sissy. You know, we're all about being males. You know, we work hard, we play hard, we do sports hard, we speak in a way that's so, in a sense, old-fashioned. We don't hold back. You know, we have this expression, always voice what's true. We have an expression when you're engaged in physical acts with men, always get your energy out, but you don't have to take another man out. So I want to be clear to our listeners that you know, the right way is all about honoring the biological impulse. In fact, we minimize, as you know, the psychological process. We're all about the spiritual development and the biological development. So we don't want to turn off that courageous invincibility feeling. That's what really drives men and keeps them strong. And what's also true is that they become better men. They become stronger by being vulnerable as well.
You know, in schools, we take young men who are naturally wanting to be out in the wilderness, chopping down trees and shooting bows and arrows, and we stick them at a desk, point them to a piece of paper with writing on it, and say, sit still and don't act out. That seems pretty crazy to me.
It is. It's literally insane. Thank you for bringing that up, because you know I'm a real advocate for young men. And most young men, biologically, are not geared to sit in the classroom for 8 hours. In fact, most of my men friends, you know, we sit down and start talking after about 10 minutes. Somebody's getting up and stretching, and after 20 minutes, somebody's throwing a ball around. And after 30 minutes, if you're still talking, you're probably talking to yourself because not all the guys have left. So it's like having a young man sit in school for 8 hours and be expected to behave is ridiculous. There's a big movement now in schools. Certainly, it's not the leading wave yet, but there are experimental schools now that have young men studying and learning separate from young girls, that provide them with an environment that they're moving around, they can get up freely. This is our biological nature. When you try to apply psychological processes to young men and ask them things, when they just want to get up and either, you know, certainly adolescents either kill, have sex, or eat all the time, it's going to be hard to sit them down for a conversation. The secret that we use with young men, and men for that matter, when we want to emote, we don't sit them down in a chair opposite one person who's going to ask them questions that's going to put them into their cortex, their thinking brain. We immediately want to get them into their limbic system. So we might grieve together. We might shout together. We might play some sports. We typically play sports first. We get ourselves all out of breath. And then when we're out of breath, I might say to another young man or a male, so, dude, what's up, man? How's it going with your wife? Or how's it going with your mom? And, man, the stuff that comes out is pure. It's energetic. We never interrupt. We're not there to make them not right or wrong. We just want them to get it all out. And, man, to watch another young man or man just voice what's true for them without being blocked psychologically or having to sit down, it's a beautiful thing.
Makes me want to start throwing a ball around right now.
Let's do it. I got my glove in the paw. Hey, let's go.
Let me throw you the next ball. So humor. Why is humor so important? I mean, aren't we supposed to take life seriously?
Yes, at the present and proper moments. Humor, to me, is like the great relief valve. I have been through lots of tragedy. I know you have. I know everybody who's listening has been literally through tragedy, where one moment your life seems to be going just fine, maybe even ecstatically, orgasmically, eternally great, and then you get some phone call or something happens and you cannot believe your world is spiraling down into a black hole of pain. We've all been through that. To me, humor can relieve the human suffering. It can relieve all the underlying anxiety if we can celebrate at all times. And it takes a real enlightened, I like to use the word enlightened, not enlightened, it takes a real enlightened person, certainly an enlightened male, who can celebrate at all times. Well, what's there to be enlightened about if you just got some horrible news or literally your spouse just passed away? I believe that, especially for men, we have to learn how to be expansive in a split second, because we tend to want to collapse our attention or focus on the thing right at hand and finish it and get it done. And sometimes in life it requires a lot of expansion, opening up, and celebrating, which men love to do. We love to boast. We love to celebrate. We love to win, so to speak.
We want to party.
We want to party. And so the way to party is to have a profound, deep respect for the nature of reality in a way that humbles you and excites you and makes you feel connected to what you really are or who you really are, as you said earlier, and to at least be able to celebrate that in every moment you're in as the place that you can come from, your context, so to speak, so that no matter what's happening around you, you can have a certain celebration that you are awake, you are aware, that you are enlightened, and to be able to be thankful or have gratitude for that, no matter what, to me is a supreme male. And that male can contain anything his wife or girlfriend's going through, anything their kids are going through, anything, anybody or anything is happening, because they are presently aware that they are eternally connected to what they are and who they are, and they're also completely present with what's going on at the same time. To me, humor, developing the ability to be humorous or to celebrate, is the great relief valve. It relieves tension.
And certainly
to hang out with other people and celebrate in a conventional way is a great thing. And sports, to me, I would consider, or being active or doing art, doing music, you know, being active in a way that's celebratory or freeing is where I, how I define humor.
Now, young men, boys, and men often tease each other, call each other names, tell jokes. Sometimes they're misogynist jokes or jokes against ethnic groups. I mean, is that qualify as humor? That kind of sort of, it's almost like a competitive contact sport sometimes.
Sure, exactly. I know men are great at that, right? They'll be hanging out and all of a sudden somebody makes some comment or a joke and everybody goes, what the heck was that? Where'd that come from? Here's what I think about that. I think that not only do each person has to find out what's true for them, but each community has to find out what's true for them. What are their values and virtues? And so with men, if they're just hanging out and somebody makes an offhand joke or remark, which we tend to do, we tend to be kind of sloppy knuckleheads, to me, I'm not offended right away. I'm really not. I am wide enough or open enough to hear it. But that's what's true for me. If a clan has a set of virtues or values where jokes like that are perceived as and owned as disrespectful, then no, I would say it's not appropriate. And then all men need to get in line with the values and virtues of that clan or that little society for a few minutes. And if there is not that virtue or value that the clan has, and it's just like, go for it, it's a free-for-all, then I think that each man is responsible for containing themselves. If you're offended, speak up. Say you're offended. But if the clan decides that, you know, it's just telling jokes in the name of just humor, and it really is just humor, well, maybe so be it. But if the clan decides that, no, we should not practice these behaviors, that it's bad for us or it's not right for us to even dwell there, then do not go there. So I don't know what's true for every man in every moment, but I do know that discussion should arise from that, and then a clan needs to have a leader who's going to listen to all the perspectives and have the final authority on what are we going to do in this moment. Certainly in society, since I said before, the role of the male is to make the world safe and secure, I do believe it is up to the male to not say those kinds of things or those kinds of jokes when they're out in the conventional world, because it's only going to get their butts kicked. Why do it?
That's great. Well, let me pause for a moment and recommend that people be in contact with you. You have two websites, schillingerkairo.com, that's schillingerkairo.com, and the website I want everybody to go to is ymuw.org. That's youngmensultimateweekend.org. It's an incredible program that I've participated in as a volunteer. I've seen young men's lives transformed from being dark and isolated and alone to young men who can look their parents in the eye and say, I love you. It's truly an awesome program. And you've got one coming up, don't you? Isn't there a weekend coming up?
Yes, this weekend starts tomorrow, the 17th of June, and goes from Friday night to Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. And then we also have our program, the Ultimate Parenting Weekend, which parents go to and learn the right way, because it's not the young men who are the problem. It's the family's got some issues, and we want to help the whole families resolve them.
And when is the next YMUW after that?
The next one will be August 12th through the 14th in Boulder Creek, which is in the Santa Cruz Mountains here in California.
Good. So if you've got a young man in your life, whether it's a son, a nephew, a neighbor, or a little brother, send them to this program. It's awesome and what it produces. So that's YMUW.org. And if you would like to be on Mark's email list, press 1 now, and we'll grab your emails. If you called in on the general PIN, I don't think we can do it. If you're on the webcast, you can type in your email address and in the question node there, and we'll grab them and hand them to Mark so you can be in touch. So we're actually getting close to our closing time, but I want to finish off the right way. and talk about this last aspect of true. Why do you call it true, and what does that mean?
Well, we don't use the word truth because, again, in my discoveries around the world and looking at different cultures around the world, I discovered that everybody has their own definition of what the truth, T-R-U-T-H, is. And so I decided at an early age that there is no such thing called the truth, but there's only what's true for you. And the definition is living your life with integrity so you can trust yourself, which we would define integrity as when your virtues, your values, your beliefs, and your behaviors are always resonating at a frequency that's just true, that's just right for you, so that you're authentic, you're sincere, you're the real deal. Everybody can sense that you're whole and complete within yourself. So when we use the term enlightened, we feel that that's because you have a deep sense of what you are, who you are, and how to embody who you are, and you have behaviors or daily practices that are true for you that keep you in line with what you are and who you are. So we don't like to use the word truth. In fact, when we're speaking in our councils and with others, we'll say, here's what's true for me, versus, well, the truth of the matter is. So we like to get people staying true to themselves and not sort of telling other people what's true by using that expression, here's what's true for me.
I love that. I love that because we're taught in schools what the right answer is and what the wrong answer is, as if someone else gets to decide that. And mm-hmm. You know, we have matters of fact and we have matters of opinion. And you're saying look inside and find out what's true for you and speak of it from that place rather than pushing it on someone else.
Exactly. You're making things up. You know, the more you voice what's true and you practice being vulnerable by always being open to who you are and what you are and behaving that way, yes, you're going to get feedback from the community. But if you have the sense that all you're doing is practicing being true to yourself, and certainly if a child is raised to voice what's true and just be willing to take whatever comes their way by being true to themselves, then they'll be fearless because we have an expression. If somebody says something to you and it's not true, meaning it's not accurate, let it pass through you. If somebody says something to you or does something to you and it is true, meaning you need to take it in, let it stick to you. And then you have to develop what's right for you. Use that as a learning experience. And thank that person for showing you something. Before we end, line, I just want to say one thing. I know you said earlier in the show that the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, and I think I heard you say this, if not, please correct me, we're sort of taking young men who may not be right, like bullies, I think you used the term. I just want to be clear that the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend is for all young men, all socioeconomic backgrounds, for great young men and not so great young men. Everybody's welcome because everybody's going to go through an initiation where they really find out what they are and who they are, and that's what transforms them. So it's for all young men, not just so-called the difficult ones.
Yes, absolutely. I've seen young men of every socioeconomic class get an amazing experience in that program. Well, we have one question from from our webcast, but if you have a question for Mark Schillinger about the right way or about any of the topics he's discussed, press 1 on your phone. We have a question from Dennis. Perhaps I'm misunderstanding his definition, but gallantry is old-fashioned masculinity, that is chivalry rooted in sexist chauvinism. We want to speak to that?
Awesome. Thank you, Dennis. I love that. Again, I want to remind you that we have two words for this, the middle virtue of right, R-I-G-H-T. So the core of the teaching is about heartfulness. For the women, we use the word grace. And so for the men, we use the word gallantry, but it has the same definition. It has nothing to do with chauvinism at all. Certainly, as Lion does, if you saw our community of right men and right women, there'd be no chauvinistic behaviors tolerated because it would just tell us that a male is not safe and secure within themselves, and we would encourage them to find out what they are and who they are. So, no, we have no implications of that connotation of the old-fashioned part of that word. And when we created the right way definitions, I didn't even know that was considered a chauvinistic kind of connotation.
When we think of chauvinism, we think of one sex being more important or more powerful than the other, or one
Correct.
Sex having to take care of the other, and you're not talking about some kind of caretaking of the poor, weak feminine, obviously.
No, not at all. In fact, I said earlier in the show that all men and women want the same thing. They want physical safety and emotional security. We want all to be free to be who we are. I believe it's the role of the male. I don't mean like to make the world safe and secure. I don't mean they need to go out and beat people up physically. I'm just saying that by their own security, in their and their own presence of always being connected to what they are and who they are, that makes them a knight in shining armor, so to speak. And I don't consider that chauvinistic in any way. And for women, I would say that they have their own way of being present and self-secure that makes their virtues shine so that men feel safe and secure.
Equally important, absolutely. We have a
People,
question.
It's a dual world. There, how could there be one greater than another? It just doesn't exist.
Beautiful. We've got a question from someone who called in on the general PIN number. Go ahead. Just say your name, please. You had a question. You pressed 1. Right. We're hearing silence. So if you have a question, press 1 on your phone. Or any other questions, or write it in on the webcast. So tell us about parenting, Mark, when you teach parents a different way of parenting young men in particular. When the young men are going through your program, they come out different than they went in. Even though it's a 4-day program, they're significantly different. But sometimes they walk back into their families, and the family is still treating them like a boy. How do you teach
right.
parents to differentiate between a boy and a young man?
Thank you. Well, we let the parents know and the young men know, ultimately, that you're not a man until you can pay your way through life, so to speak. And by that I mean certainly materially, you're not a man. If you can't pay for everything, if you still rely on your parents, you're not a man. But not entirely. There's another factor that's really important. We would say that you're not a grown man if you cannot control your energy. If you have to whine and complain and throw a fit, so to speak, and disturb the energy of the surrounding field to get attention, then that would not qualify to me as a self-secured male. So with the young men, we let them know that they need to respect their parents because they're actually paying their way. They're the ones who are tolerating their fits and spurts biologically, which we think is right and not a problem, but until they learn how to manage their energy, we would say that they're not grown males. At the parenting weekend, we let them know that they're young men, certainly even if they have young daughters, but young men specifically, the research is very clear. You know, the prefrontal cortex and other parts of their brain are just not wired yet to make executive decisions, to really discern what emotions other people are having. They have one foot in babydom, where they want everything done for them, and they have another foot in maledom, where they want to, as I said before, kill, have sex, and eat everything that they see. So they are profoundly confused of what the heck is going on, too, and they have this surging storm of testosterone going through their body. So at the parenting weekend, the parents first learn how to practice the right way, in other words, how to get a spiritual life of their own, how to have an expansive perspective on reality that can include an outrageous character called their son in their home, and how to personally grow themselves as a couple while allowing the young man or any children, a child in their house, to grow themselves, to find out what their values are while honoring their instincts. In other words, the parents need to let the young ones find out who they are while honoring their instincts and at the same time maintain any authority and influence that they actually have. That's the premise of the parenting weekend. Another premise is that the parents are responsible, not the young ones, for carefully observing every stage of development and evolution the young man is going through. And they're responsible for letting go of making all the decisions and treating the young man like a boy. They are responsible for letting the young man win and lose and learn that life is not fair so that by the time they're a teenager, they've assisted their son in becoming independent and letting him go on his own. And while doing that, they will find that the young man will love them and never leave them for that. But if they treat them like a boy, the young men will resent them for that, even though they still want their money and their resources. So the parents are responsible for watching the stages of evolution of a young man and giving them what they need, not what they want all the time.
So that includes boundary setting and saying, "This is you can make your own decisions here, but here we make the decisions." Is that right?
Well, we would say from up till about the age of around 10 or 12, that'll work. You have a lot of authority, which means you have the ability to say yes and no, which is a definition that I get from my mentor, Ishak Adizes, who's a business consultant. But you have to be elegant, you have to be graceful or gallant, and realize that by the age of 13-ish, or typically around, you know, pubic hair appearance age, that young men are starting to individuate and starting to get ready to leave the home and become independent. So that you want to let the young men make more decisions on their own while now maintaining influence, which I would describe as the ability to persuade. But parents are not very elegant at letting go, and so they think they have authority when a young man's 15 and saying, you're not leaving my house, and then an hour later they see the windows wide open and the young man's not home.
Right.
And then they start reacting to that, and then they behave like that when their sons eventually come home because they need money or they need to eat or they need to sleep, which is a good time, by the way, to bring humor that at least your kid came home for real. You know, and then can you relax into some more expansive perspective of the universe and relax instead of wanting to beat the hell out of them verbally, and then wait a day or so, and then bring up the topic of here's why it's important to not leave the home if you want to remain here. Here's the virtues and values of the home. We're asking you to give us what we need, which is responsibility and your resources. We need your help. And in turn of giving us what we need, we're happy to help you get what you want. We know you're into go-karts, or we know you're into skateboarding. We know you want money for that. Great. Here's what we need, and then we'll help you get what you want. So that's another sort of premise that we teach the parents about dealing with young men, that you have to honor what's going on for them and know how to respond virtuously at each stage and stop reacting impulsively, because it just gets them more competitive and more impulsive and then really escalates quickly.
That's great. Well, I wish we could give every parent, both fathers and mothers, that training. We have a question, one more question. We have time for only one more question. If you pressed one and you called in on the general pin, you've got the microphone. Speak your name. If you pressed one, silence from that person.
It's a non-dual question.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm tapping in right now. Hold on.
Okay, answer the question that was not asked.
The Yankees will win the World Series this year. Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much for that. So let me ask you, Mark, would you be willing to hang out with some of the people on the call and answer questions after we close the call?
Sure.
Okay, good. So if you'd like to be in a conversation with Mark Schillinger about the right way, about the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend, press 1 now, and we'll put you in a group with Mark, and you need to be quiet on the line and just say your name if you have a question, and he'll call on you. It's not going to be a managed conversation, so please stay as quiet as you can until he says what's the next question. And for those of you who would like to discuss these topics with each other, press 2, and we'll put you into small groups, and you can have a discussion for about the next 10 or 15 minutes. Our next program coming up is my co-host, Stephen Dinan, will be talking to Craig Neal, who's the founder of Heartland, former publisher of Utney, and a men's wilderness leader, about deepening your vision through journeys into the wilderness, which is so important. And then Michael Kimmel at 12:45. So Stephen's conversation is at 12:45, talking to Michael Kimmel about neither Mars nor Venus were all earthlings. And then at 1:30, Robert White, a good friend of mine and the founder of LifeSpring, an executive coach, talking about your identity isn't you. And there's plenty more to come, including our final two conversations with Bill Plotkin at 5 o'clock on nature-based soul initiation, and Dan Millman, the best-selling author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior, at 6 o'clock. So tune into all those as well. And we will now put you into groups. And Mark, you'll be able to talk to the folks who have questions. And if you're in, if you press 2, we'll put you in a group so you can talk to each other. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Mark. It's been a real pleasure.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
As the bell rings, you'll be in your groups. Bye, everybody.